Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Back to politics here in the U.S. Democrats, the resounding win of the presidency, House and Senate, has put Republicans on the defensive. And it's an outcome that doesn't surprise former New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman and the former head of the EPA, who 3 years ago co-wrote the article, "It's My Party Too: The Battle for the Heart of the GOP and the Future of America." In that article, she argued the Republican Party had moved so far to the right that it could end up, quote, alienating centrist voters and marginalizing itself. She joins us now with her thoughts on the Republican dilemma. Good morning and welcome to the show, Governor.
Good morning. It's good to be with you. It was a book, by the way, not a more article. A book.
It was a book. I apologize.
That took too long. Articles are easy. Books are a pain.
Governor, we're on a roll this morning, I got to tell you. But thank you for that correction.
No problem.
So where do Republicans stand today? What does the party stand for?
Well, the party is at a crossroads, and it really has to decide whether or not it is going to define itself and its members purely on social issues, or if it's going to get back to the broader issues of governance, taxes, the keeping spending low, balanced budgets, you know, the broad issues, national security, strong defense, engaged foreign policy, and stay away from those social issues that tend to be very morally based. And it means that you can't be a national party. If you're going to decide that anybody who's a member of the party has to believe a certain way on a series of social issues, you immediately alienate a whole lot of other people because people are all over. They're not in the same place. Even a pro-life person, I had pro-life people in New Hampshire and Vermont and Iowa come up to me and say, "I believe in stem cell research." Well, there are people in our party who said, "You can't do that. That's not good enough." And that makes no sense.
So then how do you respond when you take a look at those moderate Republican candidates who haven't done well in the two cycles?
Well, most of them, when they haven't done well, they've been taken out in primaries by more conservative Republicans who then have gone on to lose general elections. And if they didn't lose it the first time around, there's a seat out in Kansas where that happened. The conservative won it, but then he lost the second time around because he was too conservative for the district. So it's one of those things where you might be able to pick up a few seats, but if you look at the turnout from this year's election, the conservatives, the Christian-based conservative vote was larger than ever. Almost 2 million more people who had self-identified as Christian conservatives voted in this election than they had four years ago for George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And we still didn't win. So there are not enough of them.
That's
not to say that you don't want them. Of course you do. You want everybody, but you can't win on the Christian conservative vote alone.
But how do you bridge that gap, though, Governor? Obviously, social issues, people feel very strongly passionate about it. How do you have that conversation now in a way where there's some compromise?
Well, you don't try to compromise on moral issues. That's what makes it so hard. But what you do is you focus on the other issues. As again, in this last election cycle, we saw the number one issue that took people to the polls was the economy. We need to have a plan on the economy. We need to not just be sitting back saying, "Oh, the Democrats are going to overreach and we'll be there to pick up the pieces." We need to say, "Look, we'll help you whenever we can, but we're also going to hold our principles and we're going to come up with alternative plans if we think what you're doing is wrong. We're going to be the loyal opposition, as in loyalty to the nation, and focus on those issues." On the social issues, again, you can find areas of compromise, but you cannot just focus on those, because if you do, it's going to be impossible to move forward.
Well, in the era of Gerald Ford and Nelson Rockefeller, Governor Whitman, the base of the Republican Party was viewed to be not these social conservatives. It was more these fiscal, thrifty fiscal Republicans,
right,
with the kind of international wing of the Republican Party. And it was the, Reagan era that really added these Christian conservatives, and then maybe it's the Karl Rove era that turned them into the base. Is the solution to change back to a situation where the more centrist wing of the party is the base and the Christian conservatives are just one of a number of constituencies?
Well, I certainly believe that, and I would argue that this last election proved that. I mean, we saw it 2 years ago when we lost the Congress the way we did. Again, that if you remember, 4 years ago at the congressional elections, Republicans were thumping themselves on the chest. It was right after I wrote the book, or saying, look at what we've done, and we're going to be here forever now. It's a Republican dynasty. Well, 2 years after that, they had their hat handed to them. So, you know, I would say just exactly the way you expressed it, that the Christian conservatives are an important part of the party, but they're only a part of the party. And the real base is that centrist wing, because Americans in general are not mean-spirited, narrow-minded, litmus test people, and yet that is the way we have allowed the party, the Republican Party, to be defined in Washington.
Governor, who leads that charge, then, for the party? You?
Well, I've been running the Republican Leadership Council for the last few years, and we're focused on those kinds of candidates, but it really should come out of the National Committee. And it's going to be very interesting to see who is elected as chairperson of the National Committee, because that will tell a lot. Right now, there's a kind of inside baseball battle going on over one of the main candidates as to whether or not he's pro-life enough, someone who's been pro-life all his life, but is willing to work with people who aren't. And if the party decides they can't have somebody who will work with both sides, who understands the importance of reaching out across the aisle, even if they're going to get the public's business done, then we don't deserve to be in a national party. We don't deserve to be in power.
So if someone that you've just described, if that person does end up leading the national committee, then it's your take that the party's not going to be thinking in a broad manner.
If someone who allows themselves to be totally defined in order to get the position along those social issues, then it's going to be very difficult to reach out and get back the disaffected Republicans. And I can't tell you how many people over this last year have come up to me saying, I've been a Republican all my life. Some of them were former state chairman, national committee people, saying, I just can't do it. I cannot do it anymore. This emphasis on Christian fundamentalism is not the party that I joined. And the lack of progress in Washington is due to this hyper-partisanship, and part of that hyper-partisanship comes from every issue being defined as a moral issue or a partisan issue, and we are very much to blame. The Democrats are as well. I mean, they have their pressure from the far left, and they have been hyper-partisan, but we're not helping things.
Governor Christine Todd Whitman, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you.
She's former governor of New Jersey and former head of the EPA. She's also the founder of the Whitman Strategy Group, a business consulting firm that specializes in government relations.
Well, it's interesting because the Republicans maybe need a candidate to lead that charge, just as you were saying there, and they don't have one quite yet. We've been talking all morning about over the weekend, did you happen to notice this, $20 billion Citigroup bailout?
For some reason, with the government bailout, there's no mention of what they're going to do about the bad management. So to me, it just seems like a Band-Aid solution, and I think if it's the taxpayers' money, shouldn't we be entitled to have the bad management replaced with good management?
I agree. That was exactly my question.
Speaking of management, it's your turn to be consultant, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent for the GOP. How would you remanage the GOP and maybe get some more people to vote for it? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Here's your takeaway.
I think the relevant role model is Japan in their lost decade in the 90s. And what you learned there is as long as the financial sector is sick, the real economy cannot be healthy.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
And I'm Adora Udoji.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information at knightfoundation.org. And by the Rockefeller Foundation and its Campaign for American Workers. More at rockfound.org. This is The Takeaway.